He called himself False Note. It wasn't his real name. Hell, it wasn't even his real fake name. He was old, but unbent, and his sins hung on him like bark on a tree. That was my impression the first time I ever saw him, keeping his own company in the darkest corner of Tychus Slode's Lucky Sky Diamond Diversion Parlor. He looked like a man waiting for a funeral to break out, or a man who'd make one if it didn't get there in good time. I knew the dust on his boots wasn't working day dust or wasting time dust like mine. That dust he trailed was old bad news, stretching back across leagues, years, and lives. At a glance, my eyes saw clear. Trouble was, I was 22, and those eyes weren't fastened to anything worth writing home about. If I'd had brains enough to fill a rattlesnake's ball sack, I'd have spun on my heel and gone anywhere else that night. Anywhere a man like that wasn't waiting for something. But I was 22, invincible in my own stupidity, and I was at the frayed end of a bad employment situation in a nowhere town that had never seen any good ones. "Ain't that something?" they called it, because the gods needed places to point at and laugh. "Ain't that something" had been hitched to a silver mine, but the vein was thinner than a whore's rouge, and when it ran dry, the crowds and money waiting past the eastern horizon elected to stay over the horizon. 10 days' ride north of the Blood Iron, up into the shadow of the Eagle's Claws, "Ain't That Something" was a dry misfire of a town, and I got a hell of a big surprise when I showed up aiming to make my fortune. Slode's Lucky Sky Diamond had the same problem. Lavishly built in expectation of great things, what it got instead was us, night after night, the dregs, too damn stubborn to give it up or too short-sighted to save our gambling money for the long haul back to anywhere. We crept from sober to drunk under the yellow light of oil lamps hanging from brass sculptures of tigers and dragons. Their haunches were spread to receive copper wire that would never be laid. Their mouths gaped for glass bulbs that would never be shipped within 100 leagues of that place. We drank Slode's worst until the images on the cards swam like hot desert air, and then we went to our beds on all fours. You could have gathered up the sum total of our wit and good fellowship in a thimble. There were 6 of us worth mentioning that night. Tychus Slode was a given, a snuffed candle of a man, a success war veteran who'd saved 30 years to build his dream, then sunk it by building where he did. At the table with me was Josan Shung, swollen like a toad, who carried a sawed-down coach gun and called himself Scattergun. When he got tight, he acted like the rest of us did, too. Hot Molly had what you might call a rugged natural geography and a limited acquaintance with bathing. Her temper named her. There was no place in the civilized East for a blacksmith, even a skilled one, who'd put a client's head between hammer and anvil for late payment. Now she hunted work, town by town, on the frontier, where murder was less disqualifying in most trades. Next to Molly was Timepiece, formerly the discount sort of bad man who'd thumped indentured workers for one charter house or another till he'd been aged and beaten out of the game. His left arm was 10 years gone. He had a colorful story about some admirably endowed bandit queen with a hatchet, but when Timepiece moved just right, I could spot the scars of grep fangs on his shoulder and collarbone. His replacement arm was rusty steam cobbler piecework, hacked up from old farm tools and busted drudges. He loved the name Timepiece, and thought it was because he'd set the pace for the sad circle of bummers around him. Actually, it was because his goddamn arm made more noise than a box full of wind-up clocks. So there was Josan, Hot Molly, Timepiece, and your dutiful scrivener, all sitting at a table just past midnight, while Tychus slowed listlessly polished glasses that had never been used, and that stranger, that waiting stranger, drank his tea in an island of shadow between the jaundice-colored lights.